Amen. Well, it's good to be in the house of God tonight. Last night of revival, I want to go ahead and say, church, thank you again for your hospitality, the lovely place that we've been able to stay this week, and of course, the wonderful food that we have eaten all week long. I appreciate everyone who has come out and fixed food. It's all been fantastic, and it is very, very hard to eat healthy on the road and at churches when they cook like they do here. And so I'm blaming you that my diet was broken. I didn't start one before I came here, but I'm definitely blaming you that I didn't stick with it. And so, Pastor Merrick, thank you for the opportunity to come. We appreciate it. And we have enjoyed ourselves and enjoyed the music. And I enjoy hearing men sing because a lot of churches you go to, there's not a whole lot of men singing. And I don't know what it is. In some of our culture, we think the men shouldn't get up and sing, but there's just something about it. Singing is worship. It's part of our worship, and of course, we know the men are supposed to lead in worship, and I'm not belittling ladies. Don't misunderstand me. I love to hear ladies sing, but we've just got churches have a dearth of men in our churches and men willing to get up and sing for the glory and the praise of God. And so I appreciate y'all coming up here and singing and allowing me to sing with y'all. And so I appreciate that. And looking forward to seeing what God has in store for us again tonight. Last message. And he prayed, you know, about what the Lord would have us to preach tonight. And I'm going to try to be a help and encouragement this evening to you. And so I just want to try to leave you with something. As a challenge, but just to encourage the hearts. I understand the day and age which we live in. And there's a lot of heartache, a lot of hurt. And every song tonight, I think, kind of was along that way. It's well with our soul, but there are things certainly in our circumstances that aren't necessarily well. You know the story behind the song, and it's certainly the circumstances were not good for the writer of the song. But he said, inside, it's well. Because we know who's in charge, we know who's in control, we know that there's a God who is aware of everything that's going on, and so I appreciate that. If you have your Bibles, go to Genesis chapter 39, as we stand and read in Genesis chapter 39, and we'll read the conclusion of this chapter, and I believe a familiar story, but if you'll allow me the opportunity to go back, refresh our memories of everything that's going on, and then I'm going to preach out of these verses here. We'll begin in verse number 20, read to the end of the chapter. The Bible says, "And Joseph's master took him and put him into prison, a place where the king's prisoners were bound, and he was there in the prison. But the Lord was with Joseph and showed him mercy and gave him favor in the sight of the keeper of the prison. And the keeper of the prison committed to Joseph's hand all the prisoners that were in the prison, and whatsoever they did there, he was the doer of it. The keeper of the prison looked not to anything that was under his hand, because the Lord was with him, and that which he did, the Lord made it to prosper." I want to preach on this kind of this thought. When your 10-year plan doesn't pan out the way you planned it out. When your 10-year plan it doesn't pan out the way you planned it out. Let's pray and we'll get into the message. Dear Heavenly Father, we thank you for this day. Lord, we thank you again for the opportunity just to be in your house with these wonderful people. Lord, they're faithful people. And Lord, I ask that you to help me. I want to encourage the hearts of the believers tonight. And Lord, that we would help those maybe hurting, those who may be going through different circumstances in life. Lord, and just like the songwriter, we can say it's well with our soul. Lord, because we know who's in control. And Lord, we just thank you for all that we have already heard this evening, Lord. It's blessed my heart. And Lord, we just thank you for your love for us in Jesus' name. And amen. You may be seated. The life of Joseph is what we're going to look at tonight. And give a little explanation on my title. You think that's a long and weird title. When I was in Bible college, I'd gone, my dad had a Bible college, and I attended 4 years there. And of course, that's where my wife and I met. We met at college there. And my last semester, we were engaged and prayed about what God would have us to do. I was called to preach. And I'm going to be honest with you tonight. When I was called to preach, I was called at the age of 12, surrendered to preach. But I didn't always want to preach. I love singing, but I have not always loved preaching. You can get up and sing a song, and I say this in a kind way, and you can do it backslidden and not be a big deal, but it's really hard to get up and preach the Bible when you're backslidden. Now, it's done, but the Holy Spirit sure doesn't allow you to get away with it too much. And so there were times in my life where I wasn't where I was supposed to be at. Now, I was faithful to church. I ran a bus route. And if you came to church, you probably wouldn't necessarily know that I was backslidden. But can I tell you, there are churches filled with people going through the motions, but still backslidden on God. But God had really smote my heart. By my junior year at Bible college, I was eager to preach. I got to where I love to preach. I mean, I love it when I have an opportunity to get behind the pulpit and preach, and I take it with seriousness. But as we were entering into that last semester of Bible college and my wife were engaged and she had said yes to marrying me, I had asked her a question long before we got engaged, and it went a little like this. If God called me to Mexico, would you be willing to go? I wanted to know if she would be willing to follow me wherever God called me, because when you surrender the ministry, there's no telling where you might end up. And she said, yes, of course. Now, I don't know if she was that spiritual or just because I was so good looking. She just said, yes, I'm sticking with you. It was the spiritual part. I know what it was. And so we had sat down. And of course, in my mind, I thought, man, you know, I'm 22 years old. In about 10 years, I'll be in my 30s. And I had made these great and glorious plans of what I wanted life to be like. Man, all these things that I wanted to accomplish as somebody who loves to sing. I wanted to be able to record a certain amount of CDs. I like to write music. I'm not very good at it, but I wanted to write some songs. And I figured by the time I was in my 30s, maybe the Lord would allow me to pastor. And just all these great things. But you know what I never planned for were the rough days. I never planned for the bad days in life. You've all lived long enough, the adults that are here understand what I'm saying. You didn't always plan for the days where you're going to spend some time in the hospital. You didn't plan for the phone calls when the doctor may say, hey, we've got some bad news for you. You didn't put in your plan. I didn't put in my plan where we would go and we would have to get devastating news, or where we would find out a loved one has cancer, or where a loved one has passed away, or any of those things. Man, if it were up to me, my plan would have been smooth sailing, but that's not how life works, and we know it. We get to the life of Joseph, and you're familiar with the tale of the favorite, as we call it here. We know he's the favorite child. I do experience that a little bit in my own family, 6 of 8 kids. I am the favorite of my siblings, and if you don't believe me, don't ask them. They would actually tell you I'm the favorite, and that's neither here nor there. But you know the story of how it goes down. He has a dream about the future. God gives him a vision. This is what's going to happen. One day, you are going to be in a place where your brothers and your father, they're going to bow before you. And God gives him the dream. And of course, could you imagine a younger sibling coming up and saying, hey, let me tell you the dream that God's given me. And I don't know that Joseph did it in a bragging way. I don't believe that was his attitude about it. There are certainly some that believe that. But we know God revealed the vision to him. He's a young man when this takes place. And then we know the dread of the facts. We know he ends up in a pit. Hated by his brothers. Gets the coat of many colors. Dad says, go check on the brothers. And when he goes, they want to kill him. Now, my brothers at times have not liked me, never to the point of wanting to kill me. And they're wanting to kill him. And of course, we know how it goes. One of the brothers says, Reuben says, no, let's not kill him. Let's throw him into a pit. And so they throw him into the pit. And of course, they lie to Dad about what happens. And he ends up eventually in Potiphar's house. And then we get to our text, and he's in prison. Now, Joseph has a dream as a young man that he's going to be in a position of authority, that God's going to use him. But it's going to take some time before he gets there. I don't believe Joseph understood, or Joseph knew all that would take place to be able to get to the palace. One thing Joseph did know, and we'll see, is that he just trusted God through the good times and the bad times. But he was not aware that he'd have to go to a pit. He'd have to become a slave in Potiphar's house. And then in our text, he ends up in prison. I mean, could you imagine you getting a vision from God or a call on your life and you're going to serve God, you're going to live for God, and the next thing you know, you end up in prison just because you love God? I understand that in our day and age or here, we may not think about it too much. I genuinely think maybe in the near future that there's a good possibility you stand by in the pulpit and preach, thus saith the Lord. There may be people coming after the preachers and those who are taking a stand and throwing them in prison. And there are places that certainly that has happened. But as a whole, we don't really think about it too much. But Joseph ends up in the prison. And I can tell you this. Joseph's reaction is a lot better than my reaction would be. I know who I am. There have been times when I've just gotten a flat tire on the side of the road and I have not been too happy about it. God, why would you do this? I am trying to travel, get down the road, head into the next meeting, and here you are going to give me a flat tire. That's my reaction. So I can only imagine if I end up in a prison what it would be. And so he's here, but we see the delight of his faithfulness. This amazing portion of scripture, because as Joseph is in prison, it gives us a glimpse of the fact that the keeper of the prison committed to Joseph's hand all the prisoners. Joseph has been put in charge to the point where the keeper of the prison said, I don't even have to check in on Joseph because he has enough integrity while in prison that I can trust him. Can I just state that most believers probably wouldn't have that great of integrity. When we go through the trial and we go through the tribulation, if we ended up in prison for serving God, I'm afraid too many believers would not have the same outlook that Joseph had and would not have the same disposition we'll see in just a minute. So Joseph goes through all of this, and in your own life, I'm sure if you look back 10 years ago or maybe 5 years ago and you said, preacher, I had different plans for my life. I'm thankful for where I'm at now. God has done great things. I'm thankful for where my wife and I are at right now. But there are certainly things that I didn't plan for. There are certainly things that I would not have put into our life that God allowed to come in, and he did it for a purpose. And I understand that on this side of it, and there's still things that I'm not 100% for sure why God allowed it to happen, but he did, and he had a plan. And you may be in that same situation. Can I quickly give you some temptations that we can face when we get to a place that we didn't plan for? When we get to a circumstance or a situation that we didn't put in our planner for the next so many years or for the next part of our life? The same temptations that Joseph faced. And the first one is the ease of bitterness. When we go through a situation in our life trying to serve God, we're living for God, we're faithful to church, and all of a sudden, devastation hits. All of a sudden, something comes in our life that we didn't plan for, and the first thing that you and I can face is bitterness. We understand Joseph could have been bitter at his brothers. We would all justify the bitterness. Joseph, when he meets up with his brothers later in life, I personally, if the story would have changed and Joseph said, let's just throw them all in prison, I'd be like, that's right, Joseph, get them. I know how it is having older brothers. Joseph, take them out. It's a good thing. Let's throw them all in prison. But that's not what Joseph did. Joseph wasn't bitter at them. Joseph didn't hold on to a grudge. He faced the temptation of getting bitter at his brothers. He could have faced the temptation of getting bitter at his beloved father. Think about this. Who was the one that sent him on the errand to go check on his brothers? It was Dad. Dad, if you would not have told me to do this, I wouldn't have been in this circumstance. I wouldn't have been in this situation. Dad, if I wouldn't have had to check on those lousy brothers that I have, if you'd have had somebody else do it, send a servant. But no, I had to go do it. He faced the temptation of getting bitter at his dad. He could have even faced the temptation of getting bitter at God, the benevolent one. He could have said, God, if you would not have given me these dreams, I would not have had my hopes and desires on these dreams. You know what the Bible says? Hope deferreth, maketh the heart sick. And Joseph said, man, I got a vision from God. God said he was going to do this in my life. And man, it was going to be a great and glorious life. And right now he's in prison. He's in his probably late 20s at this time. And he's relatively a young man. And he's here. And he could have started to get bitter at God. But we know he didn't. The scripture doesn't tell us that he did. It's very easy sometimes in our life when we go through the circumstances, the situations we didn't account for, we didn't plan for, whether family, financial, physical, whatever it may be, that we can start to get bitter at God. God, if you loved me, I wouldn't go through this. God, if you thought I was being faithful, or God this. And listen, we can ask God, God, what's the purpose for the trial? Allow it to be used in my life that you can get glory. I'm not saying we can't ask God about it, but when we start getting bitter at God, we've crossed the line that we should not cross. And Joseph faced the temptation of the ease of bitterness. Not only that, but Joseph faced the temptation of the eagerness to back out. You can say, what do you mean, preacher, the eagerness? Could you imagine you're in prison and said, well, God gave me a dream, but I guess I'm done with that dream. I'm not going to hold on to that anymore. God must not have been, that dream must have been way off. You say, preacher, think about it for a second. How many people do we know in church, living for God, serving God, situation comes in, next thing we know, nowhere to be found, not in church, not in the house of God, not living for God, and they're mad at God. And you say, well, I'm done being a Christian. I mean, I can't lose my salvation, but I'm done with this whole church thing, as they say. He could have got to that place. He could have faced the temptation of the enticement to belong and just say, you know what, I'm just going to adapt to the Egyptian way of life, and I'm just going to forget everything that I am and everything that I've become. We have too many believers who, when they go through the rough patches of life, because they will come, devastation can come, discouragement you and I will face, that we can get the enticement to just want to go out and live in the world and belong to the world as if that's going to be better. Think about the children of Israel. When they left and they faced a hard time with Moses, what did they say? They said, it was better in Egypt. I mean, the leeks and the garlics and the onion that we ate, which, by the way, that sounds terrible compared to manna, which is angel's food. Angel food cake, I think that's what it is. I'm assuming they had strawberry and whipped cream. I could be wrong, though. It's amazing how many times they said, Moses, you brought us out here to die. Somehow they forgot the slavery of sin. Somehow they forgot the bondage they were in. Somehow they forgot the taskmasters were not polite people to them. It's amazing how many times we go through situations and storms and trials and testings and we say, well, we had it better before salvation. No, we didn't. We were in bondage to sin. We were in captivity. We were on our way to hell, and we faced difficult times before salvation as well. Yet somehow we get our eyes off of all the terrible things and we can only remember the enjoyment that we may have had. And Satan loves to whisper that into our ear. Satan loves to tell believers, well, if God loved you, He wouldn't allow anything like this to happen. And so we can face that enticement to want to go back. So we see the temperament that the temptation that he faced, but notice the temperament of this fellow. We already stated it just a second ago, but here he is in prison and he's put as the keeper. He's put in charge. Can I tell you that getting put in charge in prisoner while being an inmate in prisoner doesn't happen with a bad attitude. It doesn't happen with a bad disposition. Notice his unique disposition. What he tells his brother in Genesis 50 verse 20, when he said, you meant it for evil, God meant it for good. Joseph was already living that truth in prison. The truth that he explains to them later on in his life, Joseph somehow got a hold of that in his youth while he was in Potiphar's house, while he was in prison, and he just held on to that truth. Romans 8:28, we have the verse now. For all things work together for good to them who love God, to them who are called according to His purpose. And if you were to go on to read, you'd understand that those things that come in our life that are a trial, a testing, a tragedy, they're there to work good so that we can become more like Him. The refining process that we're familiar with. Joseph grasped this, and because of this, he had a unique disposition. Could you imagine going into prison and seeing a man who has a good spirit? Could you imagine going into prison and being met with a man who was happy? He's a preacher, but he's in prison. But he's in God's will. preacher, how in the world could he? Listen, I'm not saying that every day he had a smile on his face. I don't know. I wasn't there. But I know this much. He had enough of a Christ-like spirit, if we could put it that way, that the keeper of the prison saw something different in him than everybody else that was in there. We see his unique disposition. He found contentment in being in a coat of many colors. He found contentment when he was in chains. He found contentment in captivity. He found contentment when he was incarcerated. He found contentment when he was in joy. Joseph understood what Paul said long before Paul said it. Whatever state I am, therewith to be content. I preached on contentment on Saturday for those who are here. And Joseph has this understanding. I'm just content wherever God puts me. If God's got a prison for me, I'm content with being there. We see his unique disposition, his unique delight. It's interesting because the prison, he has a delight in prison, but the prison guard has a delight in Joseph. You know that you and I, even in the midst of the trials and the tragedies, can have such a disposition and such a delight in God that the people around us notice something different. The Bible does say, rejoice in the Lord always. Again, I say rejoice. In 1 Thessalonians 5:16, it does say, rejoice evermore. Whatever we're going through, you say, preacher, I'm having a hard time smiling right now. I understand that. But you and I don't have to go around defeated. We may be discouraged, but we can go around with hope. We can go around. I understand their sorrow. It's given to us in the New Testament that we sorrow not as others which have no hope. There is sorrow, but we still have hope. If your loved one's in heaven, if the trial that you're going through, you understand that God's got a plan, we can still have delight that what I'm going through, God's got a purpose. It's amazing to me. The world has no hope, no purpose. When they're going through a trial, their tragedy in their life, they don't understand what's going on, and they are just questioning why everything is happening. And you and I can have delight even in the midst of a circumstance. There's unique dividends that are given here. Look at verse 21. The Bible says, but the Lord was with Joseph. Understand that while he's in prison, he has the presence of God. Can I tell you, believer, while you're going through whatever you're facing, the presence of God is still real in your life. Amen. He said, I'll never leave you nor forsake you. Amen. He's always there. He's always present in your life. It doesn't matter how dark the storm may be. It doesn't matter how hard the winds blow. It doesn't matter how lonely it may seem. The Holy Spirit, God Almighty, is with you. His presence was evident in his life. But can I submit his protection was also evident? God protected Joseph. He's a foreigner in an Egyptian prison, and yet God protects him. I know we don't really think about this too much, but it would have been easy for Joseph to be thrown in the prison and be mistreated, but it didn't happen. Why? Because God said, I'll still protect you even in all this. He had the partiality of the guard, the keeper of the prison, committed unto him. Of course, the prosperity that he found even in the guardhouse as he was there. The Bible said that God made him to prosper. We don't think about this truth too often, that you and I can prosper in the prison. While we're in the circumstance and the situations, the storm, you and I can prosper. We can go forward for God. We can keep on serving God. And God can still bless us even in the midst of the troubles that we face. So here are the truths to be faithful. We talked about faithfulness this week already. And when it comes to the situations in your life that you didn't plan for, that I didn't plan for, that if we had our way, we probably wouldn't have put them in our life. If we would have been writing our story, we probably wouldn't have put that situation there. When we're going through these storms of life, when we're going through the rough patches in life, when we're facing all of the unknowns that life can bring our way, the things that we didn't plan for, can I remind you tonight, God has a plan. Preacher, that is so simple. I know. But he has a plan. He has one that he wants to perform in your life. Don't ever forget that God has a purpose. God is trying to do something in your life. God is trying to get you to a certain place in your life. I say this a lot about Job. You know, Job, as he went through the circumstances he went through and as he faced everything that he faced, you and I would love to have the respect that Job had. Job, God spoke highly of Job to the point where he said, "Hast thou considered my servant Job?" Satan didn't bring Job's name up to God. God brought Job's name up to Satan. We would love to have the respect that Job had, if I can put it that way. But a lot of times we don't want the reality that Job had, and that is that God said, "Look, Satan, I will allow you to test Job to prove that he loves me. I will allow you to come into his life just to prove that he loves me and that he's faithful to me." When we think about it, we don't want to get that accusation, and we don't want to be the name that comes to God's lips to Satan, if it will. But understand, God said, "Go ahead." He gave, if you will, Satan some liberty to come towards Job. And even after he took everything from Job, Satan brought another accusation. He said, "Well, skin for skin. I mean, Job's serving you because you haven't attacked his body." And God said, "I'll allow it. You can't kill him." And so he brought the worst, health problems that you could bring to a person, the boils from the head of the crown to the bottom of his feet. Just think about it. There's no comfortable place to sit in. And yet Job, even in all of the conversation he had with his friends, Job still loved God. And although he didn't understand it all, he still said, "I know that when I've tried, I shall come forth as gold." Job had a glimpse that God had a plan for all of this. Understand, God's got a plan for your life. Preacher, it's not pleasant. It's not always pleasant. Sometimes we have to go through things that are less than pleasant, but God has a plan. Understand, you'll not always understand the particular path. You and I may not always understand where God has taken us, but we can trust Him. I've talked to several men this week. I love to deer hunt. I started deer hunting when I was probably 4 or 5 years old, somewhere in there, back before they had an age restriction when you could start carrying a gun in the woods. And I'd hunt with my dad. And most of you have seen my dad, or a lot of you have seen my dad. And my dad, of course, as a kid, he had a size 12 boot. And of course, I got my little kid size feet. And I can remember going in the deer woods, and dad would say, "Just follow me. It's dark." I'm not afraid of the dark. But when you go in the deer woods, there are things that I'm afraid of, even though they're probably not there, that I feel like could probably eat me. And I probably look like a pretty good snack. And dad would say, "Follow me." You get a flashlight. That thing does not illuminate very far, just enough for you to see. Sometimes I wouldn't even have a flashlight. All I would see is where his boot print was. And as long as I followed him, we'd always make it to where we needed to go. I didn't know where we were going. I couldn't have got us to our deer stand. It's dark. There's all the trees look alike. There's no way I'd have got there. But as long as I followed him, I knew it'd be okay. As long as I followed him, I knew that we would be fine. Sometimes the path wasn't always necessarily easy. Sometimes we'd have to step over a log. We may have to go through water. There may be a valley. There may be a mountain or a hill that we'd have to climb to get where we'd get to go. But as we're walking, I knew as long as I followed my father, I'd be fine. Can I tell you, it's the same thing for the Christian life. Sometimes it's not always pleasant. Sometimes we don't see where we're going. He doesn't always lay it out like the old map quests we used to get, where they'd give us pages of how to get to your destination. Life's more like a GPS. In 50 feet, take a right. If you miss it, do a U-turn, come back around. And he'd give us step by step. A lot of times that's how God works with us. And we just got to make sure we're following him. We got to make sure that we just keep our eyes on him. And if we'll just follow him, we can make it. We can get to the destination that we're going through. It may not be pleasant. It may not be easy. But you and I can follow him. The Bible does say the steps of a good man are ordered by the Lord, and he delighteth in his way. You and I just got to follow him. Understand, You'll not always understand the particular path, but just keep following and then understand the importance of following that providential hand of God. You and I don't know it all. God does. You and I don't understand it all. God does. Can I remind you that even though you and I may try to lay out a plan of what we want to do in the future, what we want to accomplish, there's going to come some things that we didn't plan for, but God was not surprised by it. God was not standing there going, oh, I didn't think about this. I didn't realize this was going to happen. God already had it all laid out in His sovereignty. He knows what's going to take place, and you and I can follow Him. The problem too many times is we get to a situation like Joseph, and we just want to quit on God. Can I remind you that it can be well with your soul, even if the circumstance isn't well? You can follow Him. You and I may be in a dark part of our life. We may be in a situation where it seems like the sun's not going to shine. The choir sang it though. The sun's going to come up in the morning. Weeping may endure for the night, but we know that sun's just around the corner. Joseph wasn't in prison for one night. He was in there for a little bit. Day after day, he was in there. We know after the butler and the baker come in and after they leave, it was at least 2 full years. And the Bible uses that word full, saying that he was in there and it felt like a long time. You ever go through a year and say, man, that felt like 10 years. He was in prison for 2, and it felt like a long time. But the whole time, he just trusted God. He didn't know, like you and I know, that he had to go to the prison to get to the palace. We know that because we've read the whole story. Joseph actually had to live it. You may be in a situation, you say, I don't know why I'm here, but it may be because God's got something better for you, another step for you, and you've got to go to the prison to get to the palace. Hey, when your 10-year plan doesn't go as you planned it out, you can trust Jesus. He's faithful. He's never failed. I don't know what you're facing tonight. You say, preacher, you know everything's good right now. Well, one of these days, you're going to face something. Remember Joseph. What a great disposition he had, even in the midst of his trial. And he just trusted God. Oh, there may have been days of doubt. I don't know. The Bible doesn't tell us. And I'm not going to pretend like I know whether or not every day was good for Joseph. But I know that he stayed faithful. Even when it didn't seem, when everything seemed bleak, he was faithful. May we remain faithful even in the bad days. Even when the storms of life are raging, just stay faithful. Why? We have a faithful God. One who's in control. One who knows what's going on in your life. My wife and I, we sing a song simply titled this, God Knows and He Cares. He cares about your circumstance. He cares about your situation. He's very well aware. Just keep following Him. Let's pray.